This morning's scripture reading is Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 through 20, and you will find that in your Pew Bible, Old Testament, page number 179. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, and may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him, for that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. The word of the Lord.
The gospel lesson this morning is from the fifth chapter of Matthew, beginning with the 33rd verse. If you are able and comfortable to stand, I invite you to do so. Jesus has gathered the community, the people, all that are around him, and is teaching them. And he says, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, or for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one." The word of the Lord.
What did you think about that passage this, from Jesus talking about don't swear at all? Now, I don't know about you, but I grew up learning that that meant don't cuss. He refers back. He says, "You've heard it said in ancient..." Let me find it here. "Said to you, in ancient times you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you've made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all." He's referring back to some of the older laws of the Torah, the laws of Israel. You remember those? There's some specific ones. We call them the Ten Commandments. Anybody ever heard of... You better all be nodding your head. Okay, good. Yeah, we're coming around there. The third commandment, "Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain." I grew up believing and being taught that that was cussing. How many of you learned that first? The ninth one is similar but a little different. It says, "You shall not bear false witness." And we can take that one first. That one's a pretty straightforward. According to the books of the laws, if you had two people who agreed and testified against a third person, it was acceptable in the court. So if you wanted to frame somebody, you just found a good buddy of yours and said, "Here's the story we'll tell you about them." And that got abused. There's the commandment saying that's perjury, that's against the law, that's against God's law, that's lying, that's profane. But the third one, "You shall not take the Lord's name in vain," is actually about how you swear. I want to sell you this nice new car. This car here, I can guarantee to you, this has only been driven by the organist. She only drove it to to church on Sunday mornings never exceeded the speed limit. Has it always been taken care of in this car? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to swear that this car is like that. That's taking the Lord's name in vain, okay? And Peggy, I don't know how you drive. I haven't had, so we'll leave you out of that. I believe that you are an excellent driver, right? She's nodding her head, yes. Okay. So does that mean cussing's okay? Boy, did it get quiet in here. What the heck happened there? I got to tell you, I've got a background if cussing's where we want to go. My mom was raised by, she was the youngest of seven. She's 4'11¾". And all of the rest of her family, bigger than her, and a bunch of brothers on a horse ranch down in Pagosa Springs, poor as dirt, struggling to get by. The wallpaper in their living room, I got to see the living room where she grew up. It's the funny papers. They took the comics and glued them up to make wallpaper. She says it was kind of interesting. On a bored, rainy day, you could sit in there and read the funnies over and over. But I'll tell you what, she knew how to cuss. She could make a mule skinner blush. Easily peel the paint off of a wall at 100 yards. She knew how to do that, and she did it often. Now, my dad was the son of a Presbyterian pastor, clergy. And Grandpa was very soft-spoken, And so Dad was also soft-spoken. But you see, I have a quandary. During World War II, during Korea, Dad served in Japan. So when things went amiss, we were working on things and things weren't going well, Dad would lapse into Japanese. I don't know what he was saying. I don't know if he was cussing or not, but he would lapse into Japanese. I didn't learn any of it, Hiromi. I'm so sorry. I wish I had. So I might be able to come by cussing, honestly. I do have one quick fun story. My brother, Andy, he's an IRS agent, but he's also my brother, so you got to kind of mix those up to make that work. When his little boy, Stephen, was very young, they were very careful how they were raising Stephen, and Stephen is very bright. They were working on the car one day, and little Stephen was standing next to Andy and did something, and Andy banged his fist, and he goes, "Oh!" But he didn't say it. And Stephen did. He realized how much those little ears hear. Stephen has grown up to be a wonderful person as well. But we're called not to swear at all. We don't want to swear and affirm something that we can't possibly. We become kind of aggrandized if we're in the middle of testifying to things that we don't have any. How many of you can change your hair color? I should be careful asking that question nowadays, shouldn't I? Let's leave that one off the table. But he says, don't swear. How do we get approval? It isn't by swearing this, that, or the other. God knows our hearts, and that approval comes from God. That's the stamp of approval. How do we get that stamp of approval? It is not by swearing. But what about cursing then? I don't hear that in there. I don't hear anything about profanity. Now, James, the third chapter, does get into some of the things, the work of the tongue. He says, look at ships, though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder. So also the tongue is a small member, and yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is that fire. That was the joke about Mrs. Custer this morning, wasn't it? Town set ablaze by that gossip and the tongue that is so hard to control. Have any of you ever said, I had to hold my tongue? No, I won't go there. Holding our tongue means not saying what we're thinking, doesn't it? Isn't that about right? You think something about something, or you're in the midst of it, and you think or you know and you didn't, but you just don't say anything because it's just not the Christian thing to do. So that's part of that. Now there's another piece of cussing that needs to come in. I worked with a carpenter. His name was Tom. Tom was a Finnish carpenter, excellent Finnish carpenter, nicest guy you ever met. But he could not finish a sentence without having a piece of profanity in it somewhere. And have you met some people like that? Do you know some? And I was working around him for a while, and people started telling me, you're getting a really dirty mouth. I had to kind of back up and figure out where that was coming from. So one day we were having lunch. I said, Tom, I said, do you know that you can't complete a complete sentence without a profanity in it? And he says, oh, the blankety blank, I can't. And then he stopped and his eyes got kind of big. And the rest of the day, it was like he couldn't talk. He was mute. He was struggling. He had a terrible time because he was becoming aware of his linguistic pattern. You ever heard of the Apollo space program? Anybody? That's not a trick question. The Apollo went to the moon. 12 men walked on the moon. You remember the first one? Who were the first two men to walk on the moon? Armstrong and Aldrin. Okay. Who were the second pair? Pete Conrad and Alan Bean. I got it wrong at Jefferson Avenue. That was Apollo 12, not Apollo 14. Anyway, Pete Conrad was a test pilot who got drafted to become an astronaut. He was well qualified. He had nerves of steel. He didn't panic. He was thorough. He thought things through. Very precise. But he had the worst mouth of anybody you ever met. So NASA knows that they're going to send him up in space and he's going to be fine to fly the rocket and do all the things he needs to do. But they're going to take a camera with them and it has audio and they're going to play this live from the moon. So they said, you need to not cuss. Oh, I can do that, he said, cussing. So they practiced it and he was not making any progress whatsoever. He had that same linguistic struggle that it was just... So you know what they taught him to do? They taught him to go dum di dum di dum di dum di dum 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 di dum di dum di dum dum. If you're ever watching some of the video from Apollo 12, you'll see these guys on the moon and they're bouncing around and you hear this dum di dum di dum di dum. That's Pete Conrad not cussing. So sometimes it's just a linguistic habit that we get into. It's like when I was younger and we had daughters at home and it was just that 70s thing that everything that they were saying and was just they had this word that they really loved this word and they weren't even aware that the that they were using this word. How'd I do? Don't go there. I told my daughter and I said, you use the word too often. She said, I do not. Later on she acknowledged the fact, but it was much years later. So those are linguistic habits, but there's another part of cussing that is troubling, and that's the cussing that comes from inward boiling and anger and resentment and pain or fear. Now fear, maybe we need to say that there's a different category for fear, but for those times when cursing comes out of an inner anger and rage, when we put on a mask of I'm fine, but we aren't, and we have to hold our tongue because that inner anger might come out. We have to explore that. We have to look at that a little bit. Charlie did a great job with Deuteronomy 30. Thank you again, Charlie. This is Moses. They're getting ready to enter the promised land. They've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Come out of the Egyptian captivity into the Exodus. Now they've wandered. Now they're at the river getting ready to cross into the promised land. And Moses warns them, you're going to come into a land, it's already populated, there are people there, and they have worship patterns, and they have ways that they live, and all of those will be seductive to you. You might want to change to their way of doing things, but that is not the way the Lord God has taught you to be. There's a proper way to be in the world, and you need to remember who you are, whose you are, and how you are. And he says, see, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. By loving the Lord, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land. But if you turn away, I declare today you will perish. He isn't warning them that he's going to punish them, but the reality is that if you turn away from the right way of being in the world, you begin to die inside. A piece of you becomes consumed by all of that which is corrupt and profane. It's not an easy thing to be about that, to bridle our tongues. That's the term James uses as well. I didn't read that portion. But bridling our tongue might mean that there is something inside that needs to be dealt with. gossiping or character assassinations or judging or belittling. Sometimes it's there on the tips of our tongue. Revenge and vengeance is one that I'll be driving down the road and somebody will do something really obnoxious and I'll say, I hope he gets caught. Am I the only one? But isn't that asking for revenge and vengeance? Vengeance belongs to God, and that part of our inner selves that needs to be purified, because that profanes us. There's some people in my life that have done me wrong. I don't have a good country song for that done me wrong song, but has anybody ever done something to you that just you just got in your craw and you haven't forgiven them for? And you hang on to that and you're angry with them and you see them at some point and they don't even know that you're angry at them. Here's all that anger and all that bile and that ugliness inside of you all just pent up and they don't even know it. The only one it's hurting is self. So how do we begin to look at that? How do we begin to take that apart? Because like God is saying, choose good or you will live, but the other and you will perish. We know what that's about. We know what ulcers are. We know how all that comes together and comes apart. I have to tell you that I struggle to try and be at peace with the world and try and resolve those things inside. But I am moving on to perfection. I am not there yet. We are moving on to perfection, right? We are moving on to repeat with me. Moving on to perfection. Amen. We're trying to get there. And trying to get there means we're trying to resolve those so that inside we find that inner peace that we can offer to the world. That's what Christ is about. That's what life is about. That's what we're trying to seek. And it's a journey. It is one that still I struggle with. I think I'll be doing fine and we'll be on the road with something. And it doesn't take much to set me off driving. I'm not sure what that's about. I still need to work at that and work at me and see where I'm going to be and how I'm going to be. Walter Brueggemann is a pastor and theologian, and he commented on that passage out of Deuteronomy, and here's what he said. He said, the choice is life or death. It is, however, also prosperity and adversity. The good is a material life of abundance. Death, then, is not necessarily physical extermination, but an existence that lacks joy, well-being, security, and abundance. So we have choices on how to live in the world. And those mean not just bridling the tongue, but finding and taming the stallion within. Finding those things that are profaning ourselves. And being the Christians we're called to be in every occasion. And when we do that, and when we get there, and when we get closer, we come back to what we read in Psalm 112 last week, and I'll read it again. The righteous will never be moved. They will be remembered forever. They are not afraid of evil tidings. Their hearts are firm, secure in the Lord. Their hearts are steady. They are not afraid. Amen and amen. That's where we want to go. That's moving on to perfection. That's where we seek to be and where God seeks for us to be. Amen.